Hello and welcome to the Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week, changing places, Europe and the US. It was just a few months ago that it was Europe facing the political risks and rather tepid economic data. But now that's more of a story for the United States. Eurozone data has been strong with recent numbers showing the German economy picking up speed in the first quarter, with GDP expanding by almost 2.5%. We'll ask our experts why this is happening, what it means going forwards, and we'll track how investors have been responding. So, where it was Europe facing the political risk and tepid data, now read the US. Does Konstantin Bolz, foreign exchange strategist at the UBS Chief Investment Office, agree? And if so, why is this?
We've seen over the last few years that the US economy did actually recover quite nicely. It did so because the US central bank pushed a lot of liquidity into the system, which helped the economy to recover. And the ECB or the European central banks have been very slow during the euro crisis to do the same. And finally, they did so. That weakened the currency over the last 2 to 3 years quite strongly, whereas the US dollar has appreciated. And now we can see that Europe is actually rebounding quite strongly. So interestingly enough, in Europe, we've seen during the euro crisis in 2012-2013 that growth was very weak. Actually, Europe went into a short recession, whereas inflation was still quite okay. And then in the last 2 or 3 years, growth was gradually recovering. But at that time, inflation dropped to below zero because the oil price halved. And now in 2017, we can see that both recovers quite strongly. So we can see growth around 1.5-2%, inflation around 1.5-2%. And that, in our view, probably doesn't allow the ECB anymore to pursue monetary policy at an emergency level.
Does Themis Themistocleous, head of the European Investment Office at UBS Wealth Management, agree with the premise that, a few months ago, it was Europe facing the risks and tepid data, but now that's more a story for the United States?
I think in the US, we shouldn't write the US off. I think the US is facing through a soft patch, and most probably we see a recovery in economic data in the second quarter going into the third quarter. But still, we can't walk away from the fact that actually even last year, Europe effectively grew faster than the US, and this year the two economies most probably will grow. Most probably the US still grow a little bit faster than Europe, but right now Europe is growing faster than the US. If you look at, we had a spate of economic data today, and IFO is at very high levels. Some of the components of IFO are the highest they've been since 1970s. PMIs at very high level maintained. So that points to very strong economic activity in Europe. Political risk has settled down, and I think we talked about this recently. The results of the French elections have been encouraging, and also the political data coming out of Germany, the last regional election also pointed to potentially Angela Merkel being re-elected as a chancellor in Germany. We still have the question mark, of course, of Italy, which we most probably have to face either later in the year or earlier next year.
Why this shift then, according to UBS rate strategist Francesco Mandala?
In line with the strong economic momentum for the euro area and the somehow decreasing political risk after the French elections, we expect the economic growth to remain resilient, in fact to lose a little bit of momentum during the year. So we expect overall GDP for 2017 at around 1.7% and 2018 at 1.4%, whereas inflation is still close to the ECB inflation target of just below 2%, and we see it for the next couple of years at around 1.7%. So the key driver, we believe, is that for the Eurozone economy is to benefit from an accelerating global industrial cycle, but we lose steam a bit over the course of this year as the euro strengthens, and there will be also higher oil prices, and which will start to bite into consumption, and the effectiveness of the ECB monetary policy keeps declining. So you mentioned Germany, and in fact, the fundamentals such as the consumer confidence, construction, capital expenditure planning remain really robust. But what we expect, the rise of the euro, should limit this year economic growth potential.
Changing places, Europe and the US. Does Brian Rose, UBS US economist in New York City, agree with that?
The situation hasn't changed all that much. And basically, if you think from a big picture, the U.S. recovery is several years ahead of the Eurozone recovery. And that hasn't changed. That's been true all along since the crisis. The U.S. came out of the crisis faster and is still several years further advanced. Now, when you're coming out of the crisis, it's good to be further in the cycle. But now that the time has gone on, you'd actually rather be earlier in the cycle. And this is, I think, what we're seeing in the data. So U.S. is in the later part of the cycle, pretty much recovery is finished, whereas the Eurozone is still in the cyclical recovery, still getting that extra boost of growth from the cyclical recovery.
Konstantin Bolt's speciality is FX. So a quick word next on the euro-US dollar exchange rate. What does that tell us?
Over the last, let's just take the last 12 months, we've seen that the election of Donald Trump led to markets pricing in more infrastructure spending, more U.S.-specific policies, which have led to higher rates in the U.S., and that also supported the U.S. dollar. Donald Trump said he wants to restrict trade with countries which steal U.S. jobs and all of that, and that supported the U.S. dollar. At the same time, markets were pretty afraid of what Brexit could do to the euro and to the European economy. And then at the same time, we got the French elections with potential presidency of Marie Le Pen would have also been a euro negative scenario. And at that time, the dollar was actually pretty strong, euro pretty weak, and euro dollar moved towards parity.
Next, let's dig a little deeper on the stateside picture. There were lots of positive numbers post the Trump election, but has it turned tepid? And if so, why? Is it about the instability of the Trump administration? Francesco Mandela, again.
The way we characterize political uncertainty is that this be considered as unknown unknowns. And the political risk is actually what we think is more related to known unknowns. So for us, the key international politics risks are related more to Syria and North Korea. And this is really one of the key drivers that we're looking at. And in fact, as you mentioned, the US President Trump continues to create uncertainty around the political process. And we all know that he's using an unusual and unconventional style of government. So this uncertainty is in fact compounded by somehow selective disagreements between the administration and the Congress, particularly the Senate, over the content and the conduct of policy. So this, we think that this lack of clarity about policy priorities increases volatility for investors and for us. And we also believe that the uncertainty around the tax reform, for instance, will persist over the coming months.
Another consideration on that front is whether or not cyclical factors may be more important than Trump's economics or politics. Brian Rose takes up the story.
This is something that we've seen over the last couple of months, is that some of the euphoria after Trump was elected has started to fade as the reality of our politics becomes apparent. So even though Republicans control Congress and the White House, it's still very hard to get anything done because they have such a small majority in Congress, and also Democrats have taken an extremely hard line, just opposing everything that Republicans are trying to do. So some of the initial optimism, and including our own, you know, we expected more stimulus to be coming from fiscal policy. And in the end, it seems we're just not going to get a lot done this year.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at the way investors have been responding to the Eurozone macro data, and we'll consider the factors that might shape the medium-term picture. The Eurozone macro data has been strong and investors are taking note. Plenty of new capital poured into European stock funds earlier this month, for example. Does this mean that investors know there's a good opportunity here? Well, they've known for a while, but the political risks across the continent have dissipated, explains Themis Themistoklias.
clearly the situation in France, I think, unsettled a lot of investors, especially foreign investors, because they always worry about the tail risk. With that tail risk, at least for now, being moved away, then you just concentrate on the fundamentals, and the fundamentals are actually looking pretty attractive. Economy growing nicely. Earnings in Europe, first quarter has been very strong. Earnings upgrades accelerating. So fundamentals are looking quite attractive. So that's why we've seen investors putting money to work in Europe. And especially U.S. investor can be the swing investor for Europe. So that money coming into Europe can make quite a difference to the market performance.
Indeed, the euro numbers have been strong. Recent data shows the German economy picked up speed in the first quarter. What does that mean for investors, and are they taking note? Francesco Mandela, again.
In line with the strong economic momentum for the euro area and the somehow decreasing political risk after the French elections, we expect the economic growth to remain resilient, in fact, to lose a little bit of momentum during the year. So we expect overall GDP for 2017 at around 1.7% and 2018 at 1.4%, whereas inflation is still close to the ECB inflation target of just below 2%, and we see it for the next couple of years at around 1.7%. So the key driver, we believe, is that for the Eurozone economy is to benefit from an accelerating global industrial cycle, but we lose steam a bit over the course of this year as the euro strengthens, and there will be also higher oil prices and which will start to bite into consumption, and the effectiveness of the ECB monetary policy keeps declining. So you mentioned Germany, and in fact, the fundamentals such as the consumer confidence, construction, capital expenditure planning remain really robust. But what we expect, the rise of the euro, should limit this year's economic growth potential.
So are investors chasing opportunities? Well, yes, but that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the US picture, as Brian Rose is at pains to point out.
We like US equities. We think earnings growth will remain strong. We just had the first quarter earnings season, was a very good quarter. But I think market is more convinced that this time it's real in the Eurozone. The earnings are starting to grow, and that's what's attracting the the flow of funds. Up until now, it's been a bit frustrating. Eurozone earnings just haven't grown as quickly as we had expected, but now it's starting to come through. The companies are making more money, and this is what you want to see if you're investing in the stock market.
Finally on the program, let's look at how this might all pan out in the medium term. Investors are right to be broadly optimistic in this timeline. The Trump presidency is probably a bigger risk in that time frame. Konstantin Boltz has more.
Markets have priced in a few things for Donald Trump. And if he doesn't succeed with that, or if he actually doesn't succeed as a president, you could see larger setbacks on that side. And there are always risks in Europe. It's difficult to say there are no risks in Europe, simply because things in Italy or in Greece could always blow up at any time. But on the horizon and in the calendar, it's nothing like the French elections has been, which is really holding you back from putting money back into Europe. And the economic recovery looks good. So from that perspective, it does make sense to bring money back into Europe.
What about some of the potential bumps in the road ahead? Always keep the fundamentals in mind and look to Italy, advises Themis Themistocleous.
If you're looking at risks, the next stop would be Italy. And the situation there is still pretty unclear. Very fragmented political landscape, five-star movement and Democratic Party support is neck to neck. So we need to face that later in the year. But it's encouraging looking at what else happened in Europe. Seems like populism seems to be losing some traction, although that doesn't necessarily tell us anything about Italy. But fundamentals in Europe are actually very sound. The economy will run out of steam towards the end of the year, but that's natural because the benefit of the weaker euro is also going to start becoming less of a tailwind, but still very solid growth in the current year.
How does this pan out then over the medium term? What does Brian Rose suggest might be the markers to look out for?
One thing we need to watch very closely is monetary policy. So, of course, here in the U.S., the Fed has already started to normalize monetary policy. We expect that process to continue this year. And in our view, at least, this isn't bad news for the market. You know, anytime you have economic recovery leading to the central bank to start to normalize, this isn't bad news. It's good news. The economy is doing better. That's why central bank policy is changing. And now we have to watch what happens in the Eurozone. So we think that sometime soon, ECB's forward guidance will change, and that they'll announce a tapering of their QE at some point this year. Have to see how the market digests that. But again, same basic principle. If the economy is doing better, that's why central bank policy change shouldn't be an issue for the stock market.
And that's Brian Rose, bringing us to the end of this 138th edition of the Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred podcast platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.